Last night, I got talked a little bit about Steve Lavin and how the first time I met him was on a Wednesday, and I was in the UCLA offices, and my buddy that works up there at UCLA and has been working there now for 31 years, I was in his office, and this gentleman that's coming on heard my voice, and he came in and introduced himself, and I was up there to watch USC take on UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. He goes, "Hey, we're having a shoot-around." He invited me down and took me down, and I got to meet Steve Lavin, watch the Bruins do a shoot-around, and Dan Belwamini was there. That's where I met Dan Belwamini, all because of this gentleman coming on. And you talk about a guy, everywhere he's been, it's been synonymous with winning. And I could go through his records at the different schools, but that had cut into our interview. But he's done a great job. 4 years, he's built the basketball program at Cal State San Marcos. They're back at the NAIA National Championships right now. They won their first-round game against Philander Smith, Arkansas, 85-79. They play actually tomorrow morning in Kansas City against a very good Arizona Christian team. Head coach of Cal State San Marcos and all-around great guy, Jimmy Saya, joins us from Kansas City. And Coach Saya, welcome. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks. It's deja vu. Here we go again. So hopefully we can continue to survive in advance, and this is a great time of year for college basketball at all levels.
Hey, before we get into talking about your team and what you guys are getting done right now, you're sitting there in Kansas City getting ready to play tomorrow with a 29-3 record, followed up a year ago when you went 32-2. Did you see the Bruin game today?
I did not. You know, we were just running around all day with our team. We had events we had to go to, but my assistant told me about the controversial call. And my assistant, B.J. Foster, he did maybe side with SMU, but I have not seen it yet.
Well, I'm sure you'll see it, and you'll see it from a variety of different angles. One angle I saw, I don't think it ever was going to go in, but I do think it was going to hit the rim. And, I mean, how many goaltending calls do you see on a three-point attempt?
Not too many. I had one in junior college, and I thought it was costly in a state championship game, Final Eight game, and it hurt us. And the ball was an air ball, and my kid just went up and grabbed it, and they called the goaltending. So it's tough because as Coach Foster, my assistant, said, that's how NC State won the national championship. Elijah wanted to jump for that ball, and Lorenzo Carlos dunked it in. So you're teaching your guys to go after the ball when it's up in the air. So I have not seen it, but gosh, it's just too bad a game had to end that way and someone had to go home. So.
Yeah, it was a really strange ending, too. I was a little surprised that after they called the goaltending, Jimmy, they had Larry Brown, I think, still had four timeouts, believe it or not, and the officials went over not to review the goaltending. They wanted to review and make sure that Alford's feet were behind the three-point line, so they were looking to see if it was a three-pointer or a two-pointer. And I thought Coach Brown, because there was so much weirdness on the court, I thought he might call a timeout just to kind of calm his team down, but he decided to go ahead and let him inbound the ball, and they actually, their star guy, Nick Moore, came down and had two great looks and missed both wide-open shots, and the Bruins move on.
Yep, and SMU probably won't forget the game, but as time goes on, there's just going to be new games, and a different story will arrive.
Jim Saya joining us from Kansas City tonight on the Corky's Hotline. Tell us a little bit about your ball club and tell us what the atmosphere is like at the NAIA National Championships, because I can't even remember how many years it's been they've held them in Kansas City, and I know the folks back there do an incredible job hosting.
Oh, it's incredible. It's as good as ever. This is the 50th year in Municipal Coliseum, in Municipal Auditorium, excuse me. It's an old arena, old building, old school. They don't build them like this. There's nothing that can tear this building down. it's built in the old days, not like they build them today. This is solid rock cement building. And this is where Coach Wooden won his first national title in 1964. So it's very historic.
Wow.
Matter of fact, this is the 78th year of the tournament. It's the longest-running tournament in our country right now. And they moved it one time to Tulsa for about 8 years in between those 78. And, it has a history and tradition. And, you know, the true basketball junkies know about this. 32 teams come to one site, and there's 8 games on Wednesday, 8 games on Thursday, and then you make the Sweet 16. You got 8 games tomorrow, and then you have the Final 8 on Saturday, and then you got the Final 4 on Monday, and then you got the National Championship game on Tuesday. So you got to win 5 games or in 6 or 7 games, depending on when you play. Last night, the final game ended at 2 a.m. in the morning. Okay, so they run late sometimes. They go an hour and 45 minutes. You got 10 minutes to warm up. It's just a special tournament, and Kansas City knows it's coming every year. They got tournament hosts, and it's a big deal around here, and the Star covers it, the Kansas City Star. And so, you know, a lot of people just sit in their chair and get their popcorn and see game after game, and it's just a lot of fun and different variety of basketball. But it's a heck of a tournament to be at and really, really hard tournament to win.
I would certainly think so. You'd have to be pretty deep on your roster to win it and very talented.
Yes, you know, and that's why, you know, I think we have a chance because we do play 8 to 9 guys. You cannot win this thing with 5 guys. And then, you know, you got to be injury free, you know. You know, our best player, De'Aaron Parker, got hurt in the Final 8 game and had a bad back. And on a Saturday morning game, we just couldn't get through that Final 8 game and lost in overtime. So, you know, there's a lot of fortune involved in it. And you got to be tough-minded to get this done in five days or 6 days.
Hey, tell us about some of your star players. You know, it's hard to keep track because they don't have more than one paper in this town. And, you know, it's all Chargers and Aztecs and Padres. And you guys don't get a lot of love up there in the North County. Tell us a little bit about your ball club.
Well, right now we had a phenomenal season. We're an independent. We're 29-3. We just won the independent conference in West Virginia. Now, you know, we won our first game in the national tournament. We got, you know, we lost there. We don't really have any returning starters. We recruited pretty much a whole new team, and that's kind of how we do it at San Marcos, just because of the scholarship dollars given to him. It's been a good system for us. Our point guard's Blake Nash. He played at South Florida. Extremely dynamic point guard. We have a local kid, Dayton Body, who played at El Camino for the famous Ray Johnson via Saddleback Junior College. Just a phenomenal athlete. Got Taren Brown, a transfer from UC Santa Barbara, 6'8 wing. Tyson Kiger from Grossmont, a local kid from San Diego, has been a phenomenal kid. She started some coming off the bench, just been done a really, really good job. Akachi Okugo from Sacramento. He's an all-state JC player. We got him from Grand Canyon. You know, we got Tony Freeland back healthy again. He was at Long Beach State 2 years ago, and his knee finally come around. And then Julian Camper, he's from Long Beach, 6'4", 6'3", post player. And he just, if you're 6'8", 6'9", you're going to have your hands full with him. He had 25 last night. And he's just a Charles Barkley type in the post. And you don't know how he does it, but he does. He's about 6'3", 260. And he's just he plays a lot bigger than he is. He can't jump. He might not be able to touch the rim. But if he gets a body on and he seals you, and there's some really, really good athletes in this tournament. And there's a big-time Division I bounce back that we played against last night. And he just gets right into his knees and gets into his body and just scores on him and gets him in foul trouble. So he's been very good for us. And so Declan Daly, another 6'8 kid from Irvine Valley, just a great role player, one of the better post defenders and rebounders I've ever coached at this level. So we got a lot. We got shooters. We got a dynamic point guard. And we got some inside play. And if you got those three areas of the game, we do have some flaws, but we do have those three pieces, I think, going for us. And so I think we could do well back here.
We're visiting with Jimmy Sides, the head basketball coach at Cal State San Marcos. They won their opening round game tomorrow morning. They're taking on Arizona Christian, who's 25-8, and Cal State San Marcos, as Jimmy mentioned, 29-3. Now, you've played Arizona Christian a couple of times this year?
No, we have not. And, you know, to be honest with you, there's a lot of teams that will not play us locally, and that's why we have to travel around the world to get games because we're an independent. You know, next year we're in the CC2A, so we moved up to Division II, and so we have a conference schedule. We'll only have to schedule 6 preseason games, but this was my fourth year in scheduling 32 games, which is very difficult to do, especially when you're good and no one wants to play you locally. So.
Hey, you know what? It's good and bad. You spend a lot of time in the off season trying to get games, but during the season, you guys are obviously taking care of business. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Steve Lav and St. John's are taking on the Aztecs tomorrow night, right here on our radio station at 6:40. You know Steve Lavin as well as anyone. You worked with him, you won with him, you lost with him, you commiserated after a tough loss and celebrated with big wins. You guys had a really good run at UCLA. You never made it to the Final Four, but you had some great runs in the NCAA tournament. Nothing to be ashamed of. Tell us about Steve Lavin a little bit. What kind of guy is he?
Well, yeah, and you're also missing a really important point. I also grew up with him. I went to high school and college with him. So, you know, our families are really close. So I know Steve is about as good as any player. You know what? Steve's a very dynamic guy. He's a wonderful coach. He's a really positive guy. And he's best when his back's against the wall. And he's proven it time and time again. And, you know, I know he's also in another tough city in New York, but look what he's done. This is his second NCAA tournament in 5 years to a program that really hasn't done anything before he got there in the 2000s. You know, I mean, he's really resurrected it. I know everybody wants a little better, you know, especially in the city of New York. There's bigger expectations, but he's done a phenomenal job. And I watch him play all the time on Fox Sports. And, you know, Steve is... obviously his team's been a little bit up and down this year, and they played unbelievable basketball, and then all of a sudden you look at them and, you know, they don't seem to function, and then all of a sudden you see then Steve gets them back on track again, and then they play great the next game. So I think that's his trademark, is that he never gets too down, he never gets too high, he's even keeled, and so when the sky seems to be falling, you probably want Steve Lavin as your coach, because he has it. He's got a great ability of rallying the troops when everyone's against you. And I think that's the greatest trademark of Steve.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you a couple other questions about Coach Lavin. And I've always had a lot of respect for him. Walking into UCLA is not an easy job. And I think Steve Alford has found that out the last couple of years. You know, they're always UCLA coach is always going to be criticized unless they go 32-0 and win a national championship because of what John Wooden was able to get done. Were you surprised that he left ESPN to get back into coaching after being out for a number of years?
Yeah, I grew up with Steve. He always wanted to coach. That was his first love. And obviously the media was his second love, you know. But coaching's his first love, and I think, you know, he wanted to get back in it. He wanted to – he just enjoyed being around the kids and coaching. He just wanted to be on the floor. He just missed it, and that doesn't surprise me. Steve is very selective in everything that he does. He's going to go for the right job, and he's very, very patient. And St. John's was the right job, and I think it's a great fit. I think he fits in with New York City and how he is, his personality, and he's just a lot of fun and good for the fans and good for the people. And he gives himself to the community. He really does. And so, you know, he's an ambassador for St. John's. And, you know, it's not just X's and O's and coaching basketball. There's more to it being a high-level, high-major coach. And I think Steve represents all those areas very well.
Do you think he's a better coach now than he was at UCLA, just from being away from the game and, you know, going to different games and getting a totally different perspective? Because sometimes when you're coaching, you know, you're in kind of a tunnel and you don't see the right or left. You're only looking straight ahead, and then you're away from it and you're going to the Big Ten and watching Izzo coach and watching this guy coach and just getting a different perspective rather than, you know, being that guy. You're just kind of an observer.
Yeah, you know, we were 32 years old when we got the job. Of course, I mean, he's a lot better now than he was. I he would even say that. I'm viewing his teams and how they play and the defensive schemes. You know, we're just trying to figure it out at UCLA, and we did a good job for what we knew and what we were handed. We recruited well, and you know, we were doing it kind of a fly-by-night. We're trying to figure it out at 32 looking back. Back then, we were very confident in what we were doing. But heck, I mean, I know that I'm 50 years old now, and I look back at those times. I'm five times the coach I was back 18 years ago. That means I'm not growing and learning if I'm just standing still. So So I would think that Steve, looking at his teams and how his teams play and the style of play, he runs a ball screen offense. I think defensively they run a matchup zone, which is as good as anybody in the country. I think some of the things that he's doing on the basketball court, he didn't do at UCLA, and I think he's a much better coach for it. But we weren't too bad at UCLA. We went to five Sweet 16, and we coached about 15 pros. So we did okay there. But there's no question that he's a lot better now than he was. I'm sure he'd be the first one to tell you.
Hey, Jimmy Sy, the head basketball coach, Cal State San Marcos. They're trying to bring a national championship back to San Diego as they get ready to play their second-round game tomorrow morning in the NAIA National Championships in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Jimmy, how do you see this matchup tomorrow night between the Aztecs and St. John's?
Well, you know, without Chris Obeck, it's going to be tough, but you know it's going to be a heck of a game. St. John's is small and they can really shoot it, and San Diego State's going to have a hard time guarding those little water bugs out there. But on the other hand, San Diego State is so long and so big. I think it's going to be a very close game. Both teams really guard you differently. San Diego State, as we know, has trouble scoring and shooting the ball. So, you know, I think it's just going to be a very good game. I think it's going to come down to the wire.
Hey, last question. And hopefully on Monday, you're back in Kansas City and you guys are playing. But I hear there's a big event taking place on Monday out of Cal State San Marcos.
Yes, it is. And finally, you know, we're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony. And I told my AD, Jen Milo, I hope I'm not there because that means we're playing in the Final Four. But we do have a groundbreaking ceremony for our new gym. And they're already doing construction on it right now, but it's the official groundbreaking ceremony. And that's really, really exciting. It's been a long time coming, and a lot of people put a lot of hard work into getting this facility built. A lot of money's been raised, and so it's a really, really exciting time for Cal State San Marcos, for the university, and for the athletic department.
Okay, so tomorrow morning, you guys, play what would it be, 10:45 our time? Or no, 8:45 our time.
We'll play at 8:45. You can go on our website, www.csusm.edu, and go to athletics, and it'll be right up there. There's a link for you to go to watch the game if you choose to do so.
Well, hey, great to catch up with you. Maybe this summer at some point. I know you're always out recruiting and doing what you do, and that's why your teams win. We got to get together and get some lunch out there in San Marcos.
Absolutely. We'll go to 50-50s.
Hey, that sounds good. Hey, good luck. Keep this thing rolling.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. There you go. Jimmy Sy, the head basketball coach, Cal State San Marcos. Great guy, great recruiter.